Hello, classmates. Welcome to another episode of Middle Class Film Class Gavin Shatter Edition for Saturday, January 7th, 2023. I'm your host for today, Joseph.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Peter.
And on this episode, Colin Farrell's hideous face hits the small screen in Avatar 2. Something in the Way of Water joins in the 3, Club. Plus, a new face of James Bond and a comedic sequel 4 decades in the making.
Nailed it.
Well, how was your guys' second anniversary of Insurrection Day?
Oh, Insurrection Day?
Do you guys think that January 6th was a riot or when America rose up?
Oh, God. I think I'm going to talk about that later in the show because of
one of my
streaming picks.
Because it's the day after. We have to talk. It's like 9/11. You can't forget it.
Yeah. All I know is I think we should get January 6th off from here on out.
I did.
National holiday.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I did see a bunch of pictures regarding the insurrection on January 6th more specifically, the guy who took the House Speaker's podium. Uh-huh. And he like is... posing with it, like it's like, hey, look at me, this is normal.
Yeah,
this is normal. Like everyone there was acting like it was like a normal thing to do. This is our house.
Yeah,
because they think like, you know, they're taxpayers, and it's just like, no, that's not how it works. That's not
this
how
is
it
my
works.
Podium.
The people that were there are the same people that tell a cop, you know, I pay your wages, and then proceed to insult them.
Yeah, and I think much will be discussed because in one of my stream picks as well.
We're going to line up a little bit.
I've been exhausted. I've been working to the bone 12 hours a day for the past 3 weeks.
First honest work he's ever done.
That was my very next question. I was going to ask Tyler how specifically you were going, how you were doing. And not anybody else.
Exhausted. Okay. I'm in pain. Like I sit here and I'm trying not to wince.
Are you exhausted? You seem like you're in pain.
I'm pretty sure I injured myself on my new job, which, by the way, is delivery driving. Please don't order heavy packages. I'm frail. I'm not a strapping young man like I used to be. Like I'm in an advanced.
So it's their fault.
I'm in a pipsqueak. I'm in an advanced age right now.
No one says pipsqueak anymore. That's a good insult.
Bring it back.
Oh yeah, that is.
I just did.
That is. How dare you call me a pipsqueak? I'm not a pipsqueak. I can hold my own.
Tyler,
hey pipsqueak.
Why did you wear the loudest jacket possible to record an audio show?
I took mine off. Because I knew the rustling would be annoying.
Every time you move, like, can you move a little bit? You're trying so hard to not make noise with that windbreaker.
Yeah, you know what? You're right.
Now you're a driver, you have to be in the club. You got to wear a windbreaker.
Don't you air that on air.
Everybody, make sure your packages get delivered through. And make sure you order sandbags and gym equipment.
Yeah. Yeah, gold bouillon, free weights, things like that.
Armoires. But anyway, let's get into it.
Find some therapy, you lad. Now's the time for Gavin Shatter.
All right, Gavin Shatter. Let's get into some Gavin Shatter. Tyler, what do you have to chatter or gab about?
Colin Farrell, as everyone knows, played the Penguin in the new Batman movie. And also, there's going to be a Penguin series starring showing on HBO Max.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird that they instantly make a series out of one character from these like blockbuster movies.
I agree with you because I was surprised just as much as you were when they announced a Penguin series because I was thinking, well, like the Penguin in the new Batman movie is, you know, it's
pretty interesting.
It's interesting. There's much more to be desired because he's not like explored as how he became a, this mob crime king. And plus, let's be honest, he's not intimidating in the movie.
I don't know. He seems pretty intimidating.
Well,
what's he going to do? What's he going to do?
Well, the Penguin, I guess the Danny DeVito Penguin is like an iconic, visual image.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, sort of a disgusting creature who actually, like, he looks like a
penguin. That's a human being,
he looks like, he looks like a penguin. Like, they made him look horrible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He is.
He looks like Humpty. He looks grotesque. Like, he looks like Humpty Dumpty.
And so, he's scary looking, for sure. And, like, being around, I would not want to be around that. But Colin Farrell has, like, the mobster, gangster, like,
He's more of a presence. A real human than a oozing, disgusting fish creature.
But he also just, like, he also approaches Batman as he's throwing metal bars at people in their face. Yeah. And, like, whoa, hold on, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about this, right? He has no problem approaching this guy who could easily beat the shit out of him.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
so he has a presence, but in the Batman movie, he is
the Robert Pattinson. Yes, one you're talking about.
He is just not the penguin. Well, I guess he is sort of known as the penguin, but it's more like he's not a player. He's not quite the player yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I guess we're gonna see how that happens, and then I'm assuming they're gonna have.
I'm assuming
he's going to be the main villain in the sequel. I'm hoping, because he's very interesting. I mean, they did all that makeup, and it's fucking impressive.
Right. Yeah. And so the inspiration for Colin Farrell reprising his role as the Penguin, I would suppose, is a prequel. They don't really go into detail on what the series is going to be, but I'm going to assume that it's going to be his like, rise.
From what I've heard is that it's picking up directly where the Batman leaves him.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Which would make sense, because now that Falcone's out of the picture, spoilers, there's going to be an open spot at the criminal underground.
Right. So Colin Farrell told Variety...
it was Ramirez.
So Colin Farrell told Variety, the only thing I had an idea was that I wasn't nearly getting to explore the character as much as I wanted to on the red carpet of the Palm Springs International Film Festival Awards Gala, which I didn't even know that was a thing, but I would like to go sometime. Maybe a middle class film class will get a press pass.
We'll have our own gala.
At one time. No. We get our own press passes to these film festivals, and we interview the glitterati of Hollywood. Then he goes on to say, because there was all this extraordinary work done by the makeup and prosthetic artists Mike Marino and Mike Fontaine and his team, and I just thought it was the tip of the iceberg. Which I kind of agree with, because, like, after I seen the Batman probably like 3 times, and I was thinking the same thing. Like, I wanted, like, Matt Reeves really created this sort of universe that makes the antagonist more interesting than just, like, focusing on the Batman. Because if you look at Christopher Nolan's Batman, like, it's solely focused on Batman. And, like, yeah, the villains are interesting, but they're not, like, I don't know, like, a focal point to explore their characters deeply. Mm-hmm. But in the Batman, like, the Riddler and the Penguin, like, I would not mind having spinoffs of that show. And so... the Batman producer Dylan Clark serves as an executive producer on the series, along with films director Matt Reeves. So
that's cool. He's going to be involved.
Yeah, I don't think Matt Reeves.
EP? Is he just EPing?
Yeah, he has like some involvement, but I doubt like he's going to have like his fingers in the pot as much as Dylan Clark. Farrell confirmed last year will not be helming the series, as he is hard at work on the Batman sequel. So Farrell, Matt Reeves, he's just kind of like, you know, like kind of direct the,
He's saying he's not directing. EP Matt means Reeves, you're just paying money.
He's funding it.
Yeah. You're funding the project, but you're not actually physically
He could
involved.
Also be having a big part in making sure, I guess, it stays in line with the, like the writing aspect. And
probably overseeing
it,
some of the story.
And also how it looks. And that it's, I mean,
it's probably
I never
art,
really
art department people that
I never
involved
other than like some of the Disney Plus, like Marvel spinoffs, but there's so much content that like the look of them are always kind of like they could vary a little bit. But I feel like with the Batman, because the look was so specific that if the show veered off, too much, then I feel like Matt Reeves' role would be to kind of guide it back onto the rails, even though he's not directing it per se.
Yeah, I think he just is having like a influence on this series.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to know, like, maybe like it's going to go sort of like the True Detective way, where it's kind of like an anthology sort of series with the Penguin being like the overarching mainstay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so
he would be the main character, right?
Well, yeah, he
it's called the Penguin. The series is the Penguin. It'd be weird if he wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Season two, he's just not there.
So Farrell goes on to say, honest to God, any thought I had about an extended series was to do with Mike Marino's work. I just knew there was so much to do with it. Age it up, age it down. He is such a genius, Mike. So it was his work that was the inspiration, really. So I think what I took away from this article was that the prosthetics that was put on Farrell was after he like saw himself in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
He was so impressed by how it looked and like his character in the Batman. He was like, okay, like
I feels like feels like a shame to not do something else with it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You guys hear that sound? That's listener Bruce's head exploding from all the Batman talk.
Oh yeah, Bruce is not a fan of that one.
There's a few people I know that were like absolutely hated it. They're like, put a goddamn lamp up or something like that. You can't see anything that's happening in the movie. I like the dark wetness of it.
Yeah, that dark wetness. Yeah,
that dark wetness.
Oh baby.
Yeah. That's my only news story that I have for this week. And I'd be remiss to even mention when production starts, because that was in the title of the news story. It starts in February of this year.
Oh, cool.
So, we should see it by the end of the year or
next year, probably.
Yeah.
Hopefully, but maybe Matt Reeves will like double down on when they're shooting the show and shoot some scenes for Batman 2 while they got Colin Farrell in the makeup already, you know, and if they're using similar sets,
You know.
Batman 2, something else in the way.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really curious.
Something in the way.
I'm really curious to see like how the Penguin, I hope it's a prequel.
Oh, Jesus.
I hope it's a prequel to the Batman, because like I don't think the Penguin in the Batman movie is very intimidating at all.
Not yet.
So,
but that's why they would pick up right from where he left off. That would be his
he's empowered now.
Because now he's in power. Now he's establishing his name as the Penguin.
Yeah.
Which it's like, watch out, the penguin's coming.
Yeah. This flightless bird that lives in the Arctic.
Yeah.
It's very cute and adorable until you see its mouth open.
And they like to sing or dance. And or some surf. Of them are Mexican.
And they mate for life. Yeah, isn't that weird? There's also like South African puffin penguins.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so I'm glad Colin Farrell is embracing this role. And so that's my only news story for this week. I don't have any other Gavin chattering to be had.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So I got a couple things. First, I need to address the elephant in the room. We have officially an actual Patreon audience now. It's happening. Yes. And I need to specifically mention our new patrons by name, because we're going to be putting them on the wheel on our second episode of this week. We have three new patrons, names that if you're listening to the show, you're probably already familiar with them. We have listener Javier first jumped on the train.
Yeah.
He's a cool ass yard duty. He's our top tier. And so his fan pick is going to be on the wheel when we spin later this week. And then listener Joel, who led us on the Golden Mile pub crawl for the World's End.
Oh, Shineman.
Shineman, yeah. He's off as well. And he's, what is that tier? It's the class clown. He's a class clown. So his pick, same thing, is going to be on the wheel. And then our third entry is also a cool-ass yard duty, is listener Steven from the Great Right North.
The Maple Godfather.
Yeah, he rides his moose to school to to let us cut class and shit in the theater kids' bathroom. So since we have two fan picks on the wheel, his will be, after we pick one, his will be right in. It'll be the third person on the wheel. So thank you, all three of you guys, for the support. It's very awesome.
Yes, thank you very
much. To see that. And for the first time, we're actually covering our hosting costs. So we're not losing money on the show now.
It only took 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. So thank you for that, guys. I really appreciate it. If you want to join the Patreon, it's at patreon.com/middleclassfilmclass. And there's all kinds of fun stuff. Your guys' stickers are in the mail.
All righty.
That's great.
Okay, cool. So business off the table. My first story, Avatar 2. They said it couldn't be done.
The Shape of Water.
Yeah, the Avatar 2, The Shape of Water. Yes.
The Shape of Water.
I know it's something about the way of the water.
That's the something second
of
one.
The something of the way, something in the way of water.
Something in my way.
The way, way back of water. The way back home of water. I don't know. Something like that. But it's
something in the way down yonder. Of water.
So initial reports when Avatar 2 came out from James Cameron essentially said it had to be the highest grossing film of all time just to turn a profit.
Right, yeah. Because he's directing like six sequels.
It had to make $2 billion.
It had to make, yeah. How long do you think, it's surpassed $1 billion. That's the story.
Good job.
How long did it take to get there?
Like 3 weeks?
12 days.
Oh.
Not even two goddamn weeks to get...
How?
Three commas on that fucking box office take.
I don't even see anyone talking about this movie within my peer group circle. So I don't.
I think that a movie like Avatar or the live action Disney remakes appeals to such a broad audience of people that don't normally go to the movie theaters. And they're like, you know, the average person goes to the movie theaters maybe once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you are a movie aficionado and movie theaters are your thing, like some people don't go to theaters and only watch all their movies at home and they watch a ridiculous amount. And then some people watch, I have a Twitter friend that saw 100 movies in theater last year.
Oh my God.
It's like, that's twice a week.
That's, just thinking about financially.
Yeah. Well, if you're a part of those, Regal cinema passes or whatever.
Right.
It's great to do.
It makes sense then.
Yeah, it makes sense to do, and then you can, especially if you're a type, like if you live in an area like Florida that's got hot heat, high, what's that, moisture in
humidity.
The air,
humidity,
yeah. And you have like shitty AC or no AC,
right?
It's like hottest day of the year, we're going to the movie theater, we're going tomorrow. And if we go every day of the week, it's still cheaper than paying for AC. So, but anyways, there are so many people that barely go to the movie theaters, and they see this spectacle, this like, the sequel to the largest grossing film of all time is now in theaters, and see it in 3D and see it in IMAX and see it with Dolby surround and the 3DX
4D.
Yeah, fucking chairs spinning around shooting Captain in the face Eo with a water style. Yeah, shooting your face with a water gun whenever the Na'vi squirt out of the water.
Why haven't they done Smell-O-Vision yet? Have you ever thought about that? Like Smell-O-Vision.
They probably tried.
They're almost there. Yeah. I mean, I've never been to the 4D theater experience, but I've been hearing about them, and like they will spray water at you.
What?
Like this?
Really?
I was joking. That's what I've heard. Is that like kind of like if there's like a? I mean, the way of the water obviously has a lot of water in it. So like,
no, it's the shape.
They're just gonna have to dunk you underwater when they watch this.
I know. It's like they water
whole chair
waterboarding. It's like
waterboarding
while you're drowning.
Can you imagine the card counter?
I know the main character is
you go see Hostel
in peril. You know, he's drowning underwater, and they just waterboard everyone in the theater for the experience.
I mean, it is like you shouldn't.
Is your complimentary you rag shouldn't be allowed, put it over your face?
You shouldn't be allowed to have like a popcorn or a drinks with you because your seats are like going like
jamming around.
Because like you go to take a drink, and it's like,
I wonder if Top Gun Maverick would be cool like that.
That
possibly
would be cool.
Spinning your chair around.
It's like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I've said it before and I said it again. Avatar, although it is not a great like story, but the spectacle of
talking
it is like
one?
Well, yes. It's an amusement park ride.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. Especially if you go in 3D as well. Like
that's my point is that
right.
in film circles, oof, film discussion circles.
What? Yeah. There's 3 hours of 3D just in my brain. It just sounds...
Everybody says you got to see it in 3D. You got to see it. And it's much better than it used to be. But 3D does not, it doesn't agree with me. I don't like it. One of my exes very lovingly bought me tickets to a movie that I was really excited to see. The Godzilla movie.
Uh-huh.
With Bryan Cranston barely in it. And
yeah, he was in like the first 15.
And she bought it in 3D, and there was some like cool stuff in it, but all in all, I left and I had a headache, you know.
Yeah.
And it was overall kind of a tough experience. I rewatched it at home and liked it much better. But anyways, I think that this whole spectacle of the whole Avatar thing is like, you don't have to be a movie theater person to go see it.
Right.
And it's being shown in every country that can physically handle a movie theater. You know, any movie that has movie theaters in it has Avatar in it. So it's like, there's an old saying, the salesman saying, that's a sell to the masses and live with the classes. If you make a movie that is for a very small section of the world, mm-hmm, and only the people that are into French New Wave cinema and, you know, multiverse time travel movie, you know, whatever it is, those people are going to see that movie and they're going to love it, but you're not going to make any money from it.
Right. Right.
But if you make a movie that appeals to everybody and is PG-13 and can be seen by your children and with the family and all this stuff, and you can see it 2-3 times because it's like, I'm getting bang for my bucks. I got 3 hours of screen time away from my fucking kids and my miserable shitty life.
Oh God.
Here I am.
Oh my God.
What's the name of the planet?
Oh, Pandora.
Pandora. We're in this streaming music service planet.
Yeah,
Pandora.
And we're watching these blue creatures swim around with maybe humans.
And have ponytail sex.
Yeah. I heard there's actually nipples, too, in it. Like
Navi nips?
Navi nips.
Oh.
And not the male nipples.
Navi nips.
Yeah, I don't know how they got away with that. But anyways.
Well, if Watchmen can do it, I can, too.
Yeah, sure. But it's
to expand on your point about like having the movie on like every screen in the movie theaters in America, nay the world. When I drive home from work, the drive-in theaters is on the side of the freeway that I drive to get home.
Mm-hmm.
I see Avatar every single goddamn night.
Yeah, all the time.
Every time.
You've seen a small second of that movie. Like every day.
I was going to say,
I think I've seen
it's
like
the same
10
showing.
Minutes. I think I've seen 10 minutes of that movie already.
No, it's the one you drive by the next day. It's the same showing. It's the same crowd. They're still in there. It's that long.
Oh my God.
But yeah, it's
you see that movie at the drive-in. That's funny.
I know that seems a weird thing, but I'm not going to see it in theaters. I'm going to wait for it to come out on like a 4K digital release.
What?
You can watch it here. Yeah. I know.
It's supposed to be an amusement park ride. You're supposed to see it like in IMAX 3D.
But I'm not
like
going to the amusement. I'm not paying for tickets to go to the amusement park. My mom's paying those tickets.
Yeah.
Wait, so I'm not going to pay for those tickets.
I'm not an amusement park guy either. I like being in my house. All my stuff's here.
Mm.
I like going to the movies, but very seldomly. Because a lot of times I go to the movies and I'm surrounded by a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
Who like don't have theater etiquette. Who eat Skittles at the wrong times?
Sun chips with the recyclable bags.
Skittles aren't even allowed in a movie theater.
Oh, I've sat next to somebody with a bag of Skittles in their jean jacket, and they eat at the quietest parts of the movie.
Who's that?
Who's that? I don't know.
This person in this goddamn room. The person with the loudest jacket possible while recording a podcast.
I need what I need.
So anyways, that's Avatar 2 made $1 billion in 12 days.
That's crazy.
So
holy shit.
I mean, that's crazy. They're en route to break even at $2 billion.
Yeah, yeah. It's in theory, James Cameron says they already know they're going to make the sequels. It's going to happen.
Damn it.
I'm into it because supposedly Avatar 3 has Fire Navi.
Oh, there's Avatar now.
Yeah.
What? There's Avatar now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the last
Water Nation, Fire Nation.
Yeah.
The next ones are going to be blind earth avatars. Anyway, so that's that. my next story is not so much a story so much as a discussion because there's this whole, as Tyler likes to say, Michiga going on about the DC universe and James Gunn's taken over and he's making cuts. And the DC fanboys are pissed. And I was a little pissed.
Wait, they're pissed?
I was a little pissed because Henry Cavill's no longer going to be Superman in the next Superman movie.
I agree. That
is disturbing.
That's a failure on Warner Brothers.
I loved Cavill as Superman.
He got fucked over because he left Witcher.
Exactly.
And then he goes to do Superman. Like, oh, we're not doing Superman either.
So that's the story. So he leaves the Witcher essentially because DC, in theory, speculation, that DC confirmed and Warner Brothers confirmed that he was coming back for Superman. They told him to announce it. He announced it on his social medias. I'm coming back, baby. Kal-El in the flesh. And then they replaced him on The Witcher with fucking Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no detriment to Liam. No one can fill that role. Cavill is Geralt.
Yeah.
Cavill is my generation Superman also. So
I would agree with
Brandon
that.
Brandon Routh, who's that? Fuck that. You know, Dean Cain, suck it. But
I mean, like, so you have Christopher Reeves being the original Superman.
Yeah, but that's not my generation. I haven't seen a single one of those. Actually.
I'm just saying, like, Henry Cavill was like the obvious choice to reprise Superman.
But he wasn't because people were pissed when he first got it because he's British. And they're like, we're going to have Man of Steel.
The nationalists.
Yeah. America's superhero. You know, corn-fed white boy from the Midwest.
Yeah.
And he
played in Smallville.
He's a freaking limey, you know.
Who was in Smallville?
Yeah, who
played I don't know his name, but I know the face.
He's a good
Ezra
Superman.
Miller.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, so
Cavill is dethroned as
he's doing something now. Yeah. Oh, he's creating a Warhammer or something.
Yes. So he's dethroned as Geralt, and now he has no Superman. So now he has nothing. And there's speculations now that he was a contender for 007 to replace
the
Bond franchise.
Mm.
That would have been good.
Any James Bond fans? I mean, I'm just gonna say, if you haven't seen the movie already, you're not a James Bond fan, so don't feign any spoilers. They need to replace the James Bond.
Yeah.
After the last movie.
We have an opening.
Yeah. There is an opening. So Cavill was, I think, in my opinion, one of the front runners. There was talks about Idris Elba as a replacement.
The writer he's a little too old.
The writer doesn't like him.
Oh, really?
Ian Fleming?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He didn't want, because he's racist.
Yeah. He's an old British dude who's like, yeah, no.
He's racist.
He brings a little too much culture.
He didn't know he was racist.
He said that Idris Elba was too, quote, street. That's what he said.
He played a genie this year in 3,000 Years of Longing.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
I really like that movie.
Those are just allegations, by the way.
Anyways, no, it's a quote.
It is a quote. do you love Ian Fleming? Are you Ian Fleming
apologist
Stan?
Don't worry about it.
So, anyways.
You are Ian Fleming, aren't you?
There is another person who came up on this show earlier who is in talks to being the new James Bond, and that is Aaron Taylor Johnson.
I knew you were going to go there.
From Godzilla.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I really don't know what to think about it because I don't know what I think about Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's the type of guy like, who's the guy from Fresh? Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, Sebastian Stan.
Every time I see him, I'm like, who is this actor? He looks familiar. And I look it up. Sebastian Stan. How do I can never realize it's him. It's like every time I
he
see him.
He looks like Mark Hamill.
I'm like,
he's
you're
so
Aaron,
generic.
Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's like a clay figure that looks different every time I see him.
Yeah.
And he was in Bullet Train most recently doing a ridiculous Cockney accent, but it was very fun. So I don't know how I feel about that just because I don't know the character. My question for you guys is, who would your pick be? Who would you want as a new James Bond?
I don't know how old Aaron Taylor Johnson is. I feel like he looks maybe too young. Although I feel like he could be a good candidate. I mean, I think he is British.
Is he?
I think so.
I think he's American. He was kick-ass, for God's sake. Children can't do American accents that well.
Clearly.
Right, British. Right.
Didn't Christian Bale do a American accent when he was like a kid?
When in Empire of the Sun?
Oh, yeah.
Was that American in that?
Yeah. I don't know.
No, I think he was British.
Presumably.
I think he's also in Newsies.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know if he was British
or not. British in that.
Oh, okay. But he wasn't a child in Kick-Ass. He was like a teenager.
There's a way to figure this out, I think.
So this is going to be a controversial take, but I think Aaron Paul would be...
Wow, that is a controversial.
That is...
He is English. Aaron Taylor Johnson. Good call.
I think it would be a good pick because it would show a very... Well, because Aaron Paul like has a really like youthful face. So perhaps maybe they could do a James Bond series of him, like, you know, kind of making mistakes and misstepping on his missions. Hmm. Because if all of the James Bond movies, they like James Bond is like this professional who doesn't make mistakes. And he always has a clear shot and is always perfect. But I think we need a more imperfect James Bond.
So you want the Matt Reeves, the Batman type, where he's still learning, he's got to get his feet under him.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think that would be good because we've had too many perfect James Bonds.
They had Daniel Craig was kind of a lout at the beginning of his run. He was very unhinged
because like he's the first James Bond that like they delve into like his past and like his psyche and like how
I liked that
his like the troubled nature of I guess James Bond or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've had talks about this and with Adam and
local celebrity Adam
and we've landed like and he suggested and I kind of agreed. It would be kind of I don't know if it would be shocking at all, but it would be Dev Patel.
I think he'd be he would kill it.
As James Bond.
Yeah, Dev is great in everything. He's so charismatic.
Dev Patel.
The guy from The Green Knight.
Oh, okay.
And Slumdog.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Curious Case of David Copperfield Button or something.
Yeah. And then I guess in the same vein, Riz Ahmed.
I think
Dev Patel. Well, I don't know. They're both pretty good actors.
They are.
They're both fantastic, but Dev plays smooth. I think much better than Riz. Riz plays that grainy.
Well, we've only seen
grainy street urchin.
We've only ever seen him in those roles, though,
right?
As like the metal drummer or the English rapper,
the
or
guy from Nightcrawler.
Yeah. So we've only ever seen him. We've never seen him. I guess. I mean, I haven't. In any roles where he plays like
where he wears a suit.
Yeah, I guess where he wears a suit.
yeah.
But Dev Patel, I think he also kind of has similar, like Slumdog, Lion, Green Knight is obviously medieval. Mm-hmm. But
right.
I haven't seen the Copperfield movie, but I don't know. I feel like I could see him put together and I think he could be a good one.
I'll tell you who I don't want: Benedict Cumberbatch. No thanks.
Oh,
no.
Oh God. Well, he's already
please
kind
no.
of past that.
Yeah.
Point.
Yeah.
A while ago, maybe Tom Hardy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was talks about him for a while. I think he's aged himself out of the role.
Yeah.
Colin Jost.
An American.
I know.
But yeah, I think they already did.
David Harbour.
So with the Daniel.
They're going in a different direction. With David Harbour.
With the Daniel Craig series, they already did like the aging out.
Daniel Radcliffe.
No, God, no.
It wouldn't be too bad.
I don't think it would be that bad, actually.
All right, Kyle Mooney.
Kyle Mooney.
Oh, yeah. This is great stuff, guys.
But yeah, I think that, yeah, they need to go the Batman route and have.
We've been only thinking about men. What about women, huh?
And they got a different.
Gillian Anderson.
Why don't they just
Natalie Portman?
Gillian Anderson. She's a little. She could play M. How about that? Have
the female role.
Yeah. She play M to the new James Bond.
Jenna Ortega.
Too short.
I'm getting
too
burnt.
Short.
Too short. The rapper.
Too short.
Interesting choice for James Bond.
I think Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg as a Q. Or what's his name? Money Penny.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the one that makes the gadgets for him? Clearly, I'm not a much
That's
of a Bond fan. Okay, I had it right the first time.
Snoop.
It wasn't always like, Money hey, Penny. Yo, it was Money Pussy, wasn't it?
Money Pussy.
Because they have Octopussy.
Yeah.
Was it always Money Penny?
It was Money Penny. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I just got Octopussy and Money Penny confused,
mashed together. So
Money Pussy.
Who was the guy? Who was the main character in Last Man in San Francisco? He might be a good one.
Oh, gosh. He's in the. He's the new bad guy in.
You mean the friend?
In, oh, no, yeah. Not the friend. Not the friend.
Jimmy Falls?
Oh, is that his name?
I don't know if it's his name, but that's his character's name, right?
Who? Yeah, who's the other guy? His friend, though. It's all beefed up now for Ant-Man and Creed or whatever.
Gosh, yeah.
It's, I can't remember his name.
I think, I can't recall, but I think.
Oh, Jimmy Falls is his name. Is the actor's name.
Yeah.
But the other guy is,
Jonathan Majors.
Yeah, Majors.
He's really good. He would be a good in that role too, I think.
What about Get Out guy?
Daniel Kaluuya?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, that would be good.
I've never really had seen him in a lot of loquacious roles. He's very
David
quiet.
Beckham should be James Bond.
God. Mr. Bean, how
and
about
Victoria
that?
Victoria Posh Spice should be the love interest that gets covered in oil
or
whatever.
And just have sex on screen because they're actually married.
Yeah.
My last point on this discussion topic, though, is that.
Oh, you're wrapping it up, my story?
Oh, no, I'm not wrapping it up at all. I'm wrapping up my discussion.
Okay.
I think that we don't need another James Bond story for a very, very long time.
You're saying so we need to wait until Jacob Tremblay can play the role?
I just think that.
I think he's old enough now.
We don't need one. We don't need one at this moment. I think about, let's give it 5 to 7 years until.
Well, at that point, it'll just be like, remember this? We're bringing it back. And guess who's playing it?
It's like a Spider-Man movie. Every five to seven years,
absolutely
you get a new trilogy of Spider-Man movies.
I think Kit Harington.
That wouldn't be bad. He's a little short, but Daniel Craig's not the tallest guy either.
No,
he isn't.
But, you know.
He's a beef guy.
I like Kit Harington. I like him a lot. I don't know enough British actors to really know for sure, and I don't want to put an American in there.
Is there any way we can incorporate Danzig into a new 007?
Glenn Danzig would be a fucking great Bond villain.
I don't smoke weed.
If you see any accounts that says that I smoke weed, I don't. That's just his whole thing. He's like, yeah, I know. Okay. All right, that's all I got to say.
Great stuff.
All right, there was a movie that was boldly named Part One. I'm not talking about Dune, before the second one was announced. That came out much, much long ago.
Much earlier.
Much earlier.
Much long ago.
Much long ago in the year of our Lord, 1981. And
our Lord.
I don't like when people say that, by the way. It's like every year is the year of our Lord.
No, before Christ, it was BC. It was.
Yeah, but
AD is Anno.
But no one is alive who was before Christ.
Now it's BCA, before Common Era.
BCE?
Or BCE, yeah, sorry.
Mm. before Common Era. So, 1981, The History of the World, Part 1 was released, directed by Mel Brooks, a movie that I saw a long time ago. I really like the movie.
Wait a minute, are you going into streaming picks now?
No. I'm talking about. This is my new story.
Oh, okay.
So, History of the World, Part 1, 1981, directed by Mel Brooks, a sort of classic comedy, almost like sort of like anthology type movie that kind of goes through like the years of humanity, starting at the caveman era, going to like the Roman Greece era to like I think modern Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Oh no, that's Blazing Saddles. No, I get confused. Anyway. And it's very just comedic takes and like kind of just maybe out of not quite so PC jokes anymore.
Right. Yeah.
But it is a pretty funny movie that I think I haven't seen in a while, but I remember liking it a lot when I first watched it when I was pretty young.
Is that the one that is Biggest Dickus in?
Yes. Biggest. Okay. No, that's Monty Python.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No. Oh,
I think it is.
Maybe you're right. Yeah. Oh, that's Life of Brian.
This is the one with the French Revolution where he goes, "Piss boy, over here, piss boy." And he brings over a bucket full of piss so the king can piss.
I don't know if I've seen this all the way through.
That's what Pete calls me after the mics are turned on. No shit. Are you serious?
Hey, little piss boy.
Piss baby. Come here, please.
So it's a comedy that has kind of dated at this point, but it's still a classic in many eyes. Along with all the bunch of other Mel Brooks movies. But they're finally, and it was titled Part One,
History of the World, Part One.
And at the end of that movie, they had a bunch of fake trailers for like the next movie, mm-hmm. which is Jews in Space, Hitler on Ice.
Ooh.
And it was And Mel Brooks is a staunch Jewish person.
He's a proto Jew,
and he, you know, he makes fun of his own, I guess, heritage and like the Jewish people. So he makes light of his own comedy.
Oh, our German listeners are loving this right now.
And but it's finally getting a part two on Hulu.
Wow!
And Hulu has released the first look. Images from the series sequel.
They're already in production?
Yeah.
Wow.
So right now, the image I'm looking at starring Ike Barinholtz, Wanda Sykes, and Nick Kroll. And Mel Brooks is a wider and executive producer on the series, along with Nick Kroll, Sykes, Barinholtz, and Dave Sasson.
Take the shoes to that.
Kevin, what? Why?
That's offensive. Come on.
To what?
Wider?
Why? It's a wider. I don't know.
Wait, hold on.
It seems
offensive like, to who?
To babies. To people with speech impediments.
I don't know. Anyways, I'm sorry. Go on.
Did you assume I was talking about a specific type of person?
Yeah, I did. But, you know.
Who?
About Jewish people like talking like that.
Oh, that's what you think Jewish accent?
That's what you think Jewish people sound like?
I'm going to temple.
Anyways, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. History Royal Part 2 is a production of Searchlight Television, 20th Television, but there's not a whole lot of news about it. There's just images.
Just the fact that it's happening, though.
Yeah, it's crazy. I thought that the joke was that it was Part 1 and that there's no Part 2.
Me too. I thought the same thing.
I thought that was the joke, but it's actually getting a Part 2.
There's no need.
And I assume because Part 1 ends, I think, during like the Roman times. Mm-hmm. That's when I think it ends. Mm-hmm.
They're on like a chariot or something like that.
Yes. Or the French Revolution. I don't know, whichever came first. it ends there. So it doesn't go all the way up to like modern times.
So we're going to get from the Iron Era.
So it's probably going to start like, I don't know if it's going to start right after that or it's like going to start like World War One or before and then go all the way. Because it looks like it goes all the way up to when they have sports broadcasting. So
it was unnecessary.
So we'll see. It has pictures of Ike Barinholtz and like looks like he's like a Stalin holding a thing that says the Crimson Wave.
Do me a favor, Joseph. Send that link to me. I'll put it on the Facebook page.
And then it looks like we have Wanda Sykes in looks like a 70s disco outfit. So looks like we're going to get all the way up to at least the 70s.
That's a name you don't hear is Ike Barinholtz. Like, I know he's, like, been in the industry and has been, like, a side character in a lot of productions, but him being, like, a main character, that's good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, good for Ike. Be like Ike. We like Ike. We like Ike.
I like Ike Barinholtz. He's funny.
I can't even.
Especially in Mad TV, too. Like,
oh, yeah, Mad TV. He was in Mad TV, right?
Yeah.
Because I cannot.
His role in Mad TV, like, he was hilarious.
I can't think of any other movies. I know I've seen him in movies, but I can't think of any movies that he's been in.
Neighbors. He was his friend in Neighbors.
No.
He was in a lot of TV shows.
Yeah, he played a lot of like side, side characters.
Yeah, he was never like a main. Like,
but he was never a main character.
And, it's Nick Kroll, Wanda Sykes, Ike Barinholtz.
That's such a weird cast.
I don't know if it's just like them three. I mean, there has to be more. Obviously.
Yeah, of course.
But so Mel Brooks,
Nick Kroll,
is still alive and is still writing this movie. Or still written this movie.
I can't believe he's involved with the project.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I mean, when I saw him in the episode of Curb where he's recreating the producers with Larry David, mm-hmm. like he looks old in that too.
Yeah.
So
okay, cool.
Yeah. And that's all I got.
Cool. What's next?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's go to some stream picks. Forgot I was hosting.
Movies.
You want to watch a movie?
Yes, yes, I do.
Disney Plus. Oh, HBO Max.
If I don't get the pick, show's over.
I have grown accustomed to Hulu Plus.
Amazon Prime.
I like Netflix.
You found the pick?
Stream picks. Tyler.
Almost forgot what to do.
Okay.
What do you have to stream pick?
All right, so I have one streaming pick and one anti-streaming pick.
Oh.
So I'm going to start out with some sugar and then go to the vinegar. So my first streaming pick, I think I stream picked this before. This is AI, Artificial Intelligence, directed by Steven Spielberg. I think I have too, but...
I don't think you have.
Oh, I haven't. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is one of my favorite sci-fi movies.
Really?
Because it's kind of... I kind of compare it to Interstellar, of it being like this like time warp existential like sort of thinking kind of movie, if that makes sense. So the storyline is, in the not-so-far future, the polar ice caps have melted, and the resulting rise of the ocean waters has drowned all the coastal cities of the world. Withdrawn to the interior of the continents, the human race keeps advancing, reaching the point of creating realistic robots called mechas.
Is that what it's about?
Called Jude Law.
I'm not finished yet. One of the mecha-producing companies builds David, an artificial kid which is the first to have real feelings, especially a never-ending love for his quote-unquote mother, Monica. Monica is the woman who adopted him as a substitute for her real son, who remains in cryostasis, stricken by an incurable disease. David is living happily with Monica and her husband, but when their real son returns home after a cure is discovered, his life changes dramatically. Now, this movie is a gut punch, because when you consider that this robot is has like emotional intelligence,
mm-hmm.
And he is basically just like casted out of this family and joins a circus, it's
the AI circus.
Yeah, it's really like. It really hits you because he's a child at the end of the day. Like, I mean, like what?
Forever a child.
He's forever a child. But like when I was watching this movie, I was thinking, well, I mean, like what's the difference between a robot and a human? Like, because we're just like mushy robots, essentially, you know, like we're no different from. Like this AI that's being portrayed in the film. So Haley Joel Osment, you feel his pain of being like rejected and casted out and not having a family, because he was programmed to be a child, a son, and to love his mom, and he's being denied that. And I think Steven Spielberg really captured the basically like the sadness of David. And
I don't remember much about this, but I do remember the kid being super sad all the time.
Yeah, he is, because he doesn't understand like why like he isn't accepted by a family, because he was programmed to be accepted by a family and to love his mother, Monica.
See, that's what makes it different then, right, from humans.
Well,
because like he was programmed, right? Was specifically designed. I haven't seen it in a long time, but he was specifically designed for that purpose, to be a son and to have parents, right? And then the parents, you know, they cast him out when their actual son comes home. And so as the robot who has the feelings programmed into him to have the feelings for his mom when his mom rejects him, it's like the conflicted programming is like, mm-hmm. but I'm supposed to be with my mom. So like, then the feelings that were put into him are like, well, now he's sad all the time because he doesn't have that mother figure.
Right.
And so the whole movie's looking for the fairy to be the real boy.
Yes, exactly. Right? The blue fairy.
The blue fairy.
And
blue fairy? Really?
It's like,
That's so funny.
It's a blue fairy.
I have a joke called the blue fairy that's very long.
You should tell it right now.
Maybe for the Patreon.
Oh, all right. All right, cool. I think one of my favorite part of this movie is when they go 2,000 years into the future, because this is it's a little bit elevated into our time. I don't think it's like in the 2020s or whatever. I think it's a little bit further.
It's like 100 or 200 years in the future or something.
Yeah. And then David searching for the blue fairy, goes into this ship, and then he gets like frozen in time, and then 2,000 years pass.
Yeah.
And then the mechas, they evolve into like almost like an alien, and they take they find David like after like some sort of excavation or whatever. Like,
he's buried that whole time, just alive.
Yeah.
Fuck, that sucks.
Well, I mean, he's a robot.
But he's conscious the whole time.
Yeah, but he's just, he literally is just sitting there, like, just, like, staring, like, at one spot for, like, 2,000 years, which is insane.
Damn.
And,
it's like that one episode of Black Mirror. The girl gets, like, put in the, on mute for 2 years or something like that by John Hamm.
Oh.
Ah, God, it's a fucking, that's fucked up.
I gotta check that out. That sounds cool.
You haven't seen Black Mirror?
No,
you gotta watch the whole series. You'd love it.
Okay, I'll check it out. So, anyways, the reason why like I'm streaming picking this one is because I love the idea of like going so far into the future that you can't even conceive like what the future is going to be, like because like the Earth is like, you know, unrecognizable to like our vision.
Yeah.
So yeah. So he goes in. He finally finds the blue. He finally finds the blue fairy, and gives him his one wish. Gives him his one wish, and that is to be with his mother for a day, just one day. Which I thought that was kind of like dickish of those robots.
He wishes for the McRib, which has been discontinued
for 2,000 years.
Yeah, well, actually, he can't eat food because
he eats spaghetti.
He eats a piece of spinach, and then
spinach. That's
and
right.
He gets all fucked up.
So he's not that advanced.
And I don't even have to see the whole this movie now. I feel like I know the whole thing. Everything's gonna.
He's
happen.
Not as advanced as like the AI in Alien.
Correct.
Also named David.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one of them is named David. There's multiple AIs.
That's true.
Yeah. So anyways, if you want to check out AI Artificial Intelligence, directed by Steven Spielberg, you can check that out at Amazon Prime.
It's kind of a long movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about 2 hours.
Spielberg and Cameron can't make a movie under 2 hours.
Yeah, it's long. It's long, but it's worth it. If you're into like futuristic sci-fi sort of stories, and
Steven Spielberg.
It's not boring. Yeah, it's Steven Spielberg. Exactly.
War Horse. God. That was,
haven't seen it. Or Lincoln.
Bad movie.
Yeah. And then my anti-streaming pick, I'm sorry to say, but it's got to be 2017's Ghost in the Shell starring Scarlett Johansson.
Are you worried that you're going to upset Scarlett?
Yeah.
Colin Jost's wife.
I think I still have a chance with her, but... Yeah, so I started watching this movie, and I came into that movie with a blank slate. Like, I was like open minded about it, and
is this the one where she has like the kid in the backpack?
What? Kid in the backpack?
I think it's Aeon Flux. I'm thinking of.
Okay. I came into this film with an open mind because, as everyone knows, I'm a huge fan of the original. Ghost in the Shell anime film.
I don't know if everyone knew that.
You walk down the street, just ask them. They'll know.
Yeah, they will. They will. Just based on my looks.
my delivery driver? Yeah, he's definitely a big Ghost in the Shell fan.
So I went into this movie with an open mind because a lot of people like it was critically panned. And so I was like thinking to myself, you know what? I'm just going to watch it. Like maybe... It's not as bad as everyone says. However, yeah, it is pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Scarlett Johansson's acting is not great. All the acting is not great. In fact, I think it's too CGI heavy. They don't really stay true to the anime. And the story is just uninteresting. Because they change fundamental story arcs in that film. So I just, you know, don't watch Ghost in the Shell, the live action version. But that is streaming on Pluto
TV. But you can find it. Yeah,
you can find it on Pluto TV if you want to put yourself through that.
That's the only place it's streaming right now?
As far as I know, yes. I think it might be on Tubi. I'm not sure. But I found it on Pluto TV. Which, by the way, Pluto TV is an awesome app. I'm glad I have that. Anyways, those are my streaming / anti-streaming picks for this week.
Okay.
So you're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Before I do my streaming picks, we had a random...
We have a drop-in.
An unplanned...
A plop-in, I should say.
A plop-in. An unplanned guest who messaged me and said, hey, is it too late to get on the show?
You sound just like that.
Yeah. Hey, brother. Hey, what you doing right now? So we have a local celebrity, Adam Murphy, who was the aforementioned from earlier in the show, who's going to call into the show and give us a little something. I don't know exactly what it is, but something. So we're going to call him right now.
Hello. Bringing it back.
Hey, buddy, what's up? Right.
Local celebrity Adam Murphy.
Yeah.
It's been too long.
It's me. I know.
Not flesh.
Yeah. At home, cold.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are you up to today? What are you doing?
I went on a little adventure with the boy.
Okay.
A little bike ride, you know.
In this inclement weather? Good for you.
Oh, yeah, man. It's the only way.
How old is he now?
You got to get him outside. He's 5 and a half.
Damn.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
I know.
I don't know.
That's
insane.
The other one's 2 and a half.
You're like an old dude now.
I know. My buddy was, my boss, I don't know, friend, coworker, whatever. He was like, I think Murph's like the boomer of the office. And I was like, dude, what the fuck? Like, hell no, I am not accepting that. He's like, no, you've had kids longer than everybody else. I was like, nah, man.
You know,
get out of my face.
I think you and I are about the same age. The only difference is I don't have a child to remind me of how old I am.
Oh yeah, they do that too.
So you have for anybody who hasn't listened, to the old episodes, Adam's one of our friends in real life, local celebrity. He puts on these movie nights at
IRL.
He puts on these movie nights at the Red Museum, and we watch all kinds of fun stuff, like Phantom of the Paradise, Zardoz, Nosferatu with the live band. And then during COVID, transition to bootleg cinema while streaming unstreamable movies, which has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we haven't had you on the show in a while. You got something coming up?
Yeah, I haven't done anything in a while. We did Dial Code Santa Claus at Red Museum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we've done some other things, but I haven't done a stream in forever. I was pretty disillusioned after I got banned or whatever. I got shut down for showing a titty.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
You're showing Avatar too? Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The single half titty got me shut. No. Yeah, it wasn't the violence though. It was the titty.
Yeah, it's weird. You can show dramatic drug usage, violence, people being murdered, but no boobs.
Welcome to America.
I mean, you could stream a whole movie on Twitch.
yeah.
But a boob will get you canceled.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
What was that? What movie was that again?
That was a woman in a lizard skin.
Yeah.
A lizard in a woman's skin.
Yeah, that was funky one.
Loved it. Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's pretty bizarre, but yeah, whatever.
We'll never know.
No, so this time, next Sunday, which what's today?
Today's Saturday the 7th.
Okay, so what this would be like?
That's going to be.
I don't want to say the wrong date.
Sunday the 15th. Sunday the 15th.
All right, thanks. I don't even know dates anymore. I'm going to do a bunch of kid stuff, actually.
Oh, cool.
Like animated stuff, yeah. Not all, like, strictly kid stuff, but...
Watership Down, you know, light fare stuff.
Light family tragedy.
Yeah.
What's
the Grave of the Fireflies?
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
You know, easy listening.
Right. Yeah, not heavy at all. No, I'm going to watch... I think we're going to start with a movie that I wanted to do a while ago called Flight of Dragons. Mm-hmm. It's streamable, but I think it's like streamable in HD, and it was originally like a 4:3 movie, so the top and bottom are cut off.
So you can't
actually see it in its full glory if you stream it, which is a bummer. So I'm going to show that. I have a VHS copy of that. And then I'm going to show the Garbage Pail Kids movie, which is unstreamable. It is not streamable.
That's nuts.
In any form.
Yeah.
And then I want to go, I want to do Rock and Roll, because that's not streamable either. So in into the evening, we'll transition into not so kitty animated stuff.
Okay. Oh, it's going to be a marathon.
We're going all day. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I saw some friends of mine do some stuff, and they just went all day. And I was like, you know, if I start with some kids' films, then it won't matter if the kids happen to see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
You get the family like, on board and then put the kiddos to bed and then get into the real hardcore stuff.
Exactly. I mean, we're never going to go too hardcore, but not for this one.
You're not hardcore unless you live hardcore.
And this is going to be exactly. This is going to be at the Red Museum, or are you streaming this?
This is a stream.
Oh, okay.
Is it twitch.tv/bootlegcinema?
Yes. Yes, it is.
We'll have links in the show notes for that. And it's if you've never been on Twitch and it seems like a barrier of entry for you, you're like, oh, that's what the kids do. That's what they do with the, you know, streaming video games and playing video games online. No, you can just make the free account and you jump in the chat and you can talk along with a bunch of like-minded movie friends. It's a good time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a blast. And you don't have to come in at the beginning or anything. It's like, it's very casual. So I'll probably start around like 4 or 5. I'm not even sure. But I'll make a whole schedule and I'll throw it up on my Bootleg Cinema Instagram too.
You heard it here first. It's happening on the 15th around 4 or 5.
it's cool too, because a lot of the people that show up to these streaming nights are in the Midwest or the East Coast. So it's like, we start at 8 o'clock. Usually it's 11 p.m. for them on a Sunday night, and they're like, I can only be there for 30 minutes and then, you know, log off and go to bed. So this is going to be cool.
That's another reason. I want to do more like during the day, and we'll see how this works with all the family stuff. But yeah, it'll be fun, or it won't, and I won't do it again.
It could be a colossal failure.
Yeah.
That everybody will remember.
It's not a failure.
Fiery collapse.
No, that's cool. So give us the names of the titles one more time.
Okay, so what did I even say?
It's a Flight of Dragons.
The Flight of Dragons, Garbage Pail Kids, the movie.
Uh-huh. Rock,
rock
and Roll.
And Rule.
Oh, yeah. Rock and Rule. What is that?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
It's actually incredible. It's kind of like a legendary, kind of adult animated movie.
Oh, cool.
Nelvana, the company that did the Care Bears. Mm-hmm. Oddly, they did this like animated rock opera.
Oh, I've seen a bunch of clips from this movie.
Yeah,
they're like cat people, or like they're kind of like they're not human.
Yeah, they're like they're like animal people. At the beginning, there's like a, you know, a guy is like, in the future, man is dead and animals have evolved into human.
No, isn't that how it worked the first time?
Isn't that the plot of Tank Girl?
That's like exactly Tank Girl.
Cool. Now that's exciting. All right, so blah 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 blah. If you're listening to this and you're somewhere in the United States or Canada where the time zones will make sense, sorry Jack. Actually, Jack, if Jack gets up, it'll be Monday for him at like 7 a.m. or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Saturday morning cartoon. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Go over to twitch.tv/bootlegcinema and join in. And I don't know if all three of us will be there, but I'm definitely going to hop on and chat it up in the chat.
Yeah, nice. The chat is definitely the selling point for me.
It's fun.
There's some funny characters.
That and the trailers that Adam always puts together.
Oh yes.
Yeah, and I'll do trailers in between each thing. I might do some like commercials and stuff, like some you know, whatever, cereal commercials or something.
That's it.
It's gonna be a whole thing. I'm like, but like I said, it's an experiment. I kind of got away from the streaming, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing about it is if you're committing to like a 7-hour stream, you know, you don't have to be there for the whole thing. So you can just let it autopilot and just check in on the chat every 10 minutes, make sure there's no, you know, the neo-Nazis haven't invaded or something.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I'll text you if that happens.
Cool. Thanks. Give me a heads up.
Cool, man. Hey, before we go, real quick, any movie recommendations? Anything you saw recently that's pretty cool? People should watch.
Nothing like super off the beaten path. I've been like watching a lot of mainstream stuff. But this is gonna, you guys are gonna laugh at me. I watched the Michael Bay film Ambulance.
Yeah, I watched that too.
And I had a blast.
It's a very, like, it's a very fun movie.
Yeah, it was. It's an absolute. It's a riot. It's a laugh a minute.
If you're looking
Wait,
at
it's a
it,
comedy, I thought no. it was a drama.
No, if you're looking no. at it to have a like laugh along with how insane the Bayhem is, it's it's something else. I like the scene where they crudely spray paint an ambulance green. And then the cops are like, that can't be the same car as leaves the overpass. They're just like, well, just let it go. We have no jurisdiction over that one.
Did they get to the top even? I didn't see that.
The what?
There's a helicopter, right? Uh-huh. So they're trying to like evade the helicopter. From the top, it's going to look the exact fucking same. It's just an ambulance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's hella funny. It's there's so many plot holes in it and so many drone shots. It's unbelievable drone shots in that movie.
The drone shots ruled.
Yeah, pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, and Jake Gyllenhaal, like, he just loses it. Like, he was great. Jake Gyllenhaal unhinged is just about the best.
It's hard to beat Michael Bay's action prowess. I didn't love it, but I did have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it was whatever, but I enjoyed it.
Cool, man. Hey, thanks for calling in. We'll be in touch, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All righty. All right,
later, Adam.
Peace.
What a delight.
Where were we?
Where were we? I don't know.
Stream picks.
My
stream picks.
Yeah, let me get to my list here. Okay, so my stream picks. I didn't watch a ton this week. I'm trying to scale back a little bit. I realized almost 600.
That you have a problem?
I had a problem. Almost 600 movies last year. I'm trying to change it up a little bit, you know?
Okay.
I still want to watch some schlock, and I still want to do whatever, and I got a lot of movie lists I am going to adhere to. You know, watch the big blog of that, and, you know, I've had some recommendations from friends that I've assigned me to per month.
Sure.
But I watched A Repeat, which is a fantastic movie, but it's on Showtime now, so I want to talk about it. The Green Knight. Love The Green Knight. Talked about it earlier in the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I won't spend a lot of time on it because we did a whole episode about it.
Right.
Love The Green Knight. Love David Lowery. It took me a couple times to watch it through, but such a fun thing. beautiful movie. Yeah. I watched Disney's new animated movie, Strange World, streaming on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
It is a very cute and very middle-of-the-road animated movie.
Wow.
There's some really cool things about it. It's one of the most adorable animated dogs I've ever seen. Mm. They did a great job with that. Every time I saw the dog, I was like, what a cute dog. I want to pet that dog. But it's not a real dog. Dennis Quaid is the voice of the main character's father. He's like the grandfather of the
Dennis
family.
Dennis Quaid is here.
Yeah. and he is, it was really good. His voice acting was really, really good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he plays like this adventurer, like explorer.
Of strange worlds.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean, the whole plot, and it all happens in the first 5 minutes, so it's not a spoiler. It's kind of like an Indiana Jones serialized sort of adventure feel at the beginning.
Yeah.
And he plays this famous adventurer who's like almost like a character. Mm-hmm. His name is Jaeger Clayde. Jaeger Clayde.
Dennis Quaid plays Jaeger Clayde.
That's right.
Oh, geez.
And his son is voiced by Jake Gyllenhaal.
I don't know if I like that.
Who is a Searcher Clayde. And
Searcher,
because he's named after, he wanted his son to be an explorer, so he named him Searcher. And spoiler, Jake Gyllenhaal's character does not want to be an explorer. He wants to be a farmer. And they discover this plant that he on their adventures, and he's like, Dad, this is the interesting thing. Look at this plant, and it's like, it looks kind of like the way that Brussels sprouts grow. It's like a stalk with the little bulbs on it, but it lights up and stuff, and you're like, oh, that is kind of a cool looking plant.
Is it edible?
And the dad's like, well, the venture's over those mountains. No one's been to that land over there. And he's like, well, we got our thing right here. And then they go their separate ways. Oh. The kid discovers the plant, and it turns out the plant is like this powering device. It's like alternative energy.
Oh, so you can't eat it.
No, you can't eat it, but people grow it, and they use it to power everything. So this whole world is powered by this stuff. I can't remember what it's called. It's got a name. It's like Oh, Pando. It's called Pando.
Pando?
Which is my uncle's name, Mike Pando. Yeah. Oh. So I was like, wow, Uncle Mike's in this movie. So they go their separate ways, and the whole movie is about Searcher, Jake Gyllenhaal, has this discovery, and the whole world has changed because of it, but it's not because he's an explorer, and he hasn't seen his dad because his dad just left him. They presume dead. And his new family that he's cultivated gets pulled back into an adventure, and they have to go find, you know, whatever, you know, underneath the other world or whatever, to stranger worlds. And some of the creature designs on it were pretty cute and pretty cool. The whole thing is that they go to this like underground subterranean, like hollow earth sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And they find all these creatures and they find all these weird plants. But some of the creatures were like, it's kind of lazy. It seemed kind of like a little plain Jane. The creatures were really plain Jane. There was some really cool stuff there, but it's like they all kind of look similar. They're all versions of the same creature, kind of. So for the intensely creative studio of, you know, Disney, I feel like they could have done some really, a little bit more with that.
Maybe they just put it through that AI website.
Probably. But there was some really good voice acting, and ultimately it was a fun adventure movie. You could do a lot worse, but it's not anything that I like wasn't super emotionally resonant. And the reason why this movie kind of made headlines for some people was that it's the first main character that's like openly gay. And he talks about his crush, this boy at school, and
the first Disney movie, animated movie,
the Disney animated movie, first movie ever that's had a gay lead in it. Just kidding.
I feel like it's gonna be like we're getting niched down.
I know.
And like the first Disney Pixar directed by a woman, openly gay character is. It's like the parameters are changing.
Oh, he's mixed race too.
Oh, okay.
check that box.
Okay.
So it's like I like the inclusion. I like, you know, telling stories from different people's perspective and stuff. In this particular movie, it does feel like a lot of it is like very forced in. Like the dog is a three-legged dog. The family is an interracial family. They talk specifically about his boyfriend and this
he
and that.
He don't like that.
No, it's like it's all. And the cool thing about it, what I really liked is my favorite part about all that inclusion is that no one ever comments on it. It's just like that's the world they're in.
Right.
So he's like, is this your crush? Oh, this is him, huh? Oh yeah, great. You know, I heard a lot about you. Da 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 da. And then when the grandpa comes in, you're like waiting to see. Oh, is old man Searcher?
Is he okay with
it? Is Jaeger Clade gonna be pissed off? You know, and he's getting to know his grandson he never met, and he's like, oh, you do have a crush. Oh yeah, I can see that look on your face. And he's like, oh yeah, his name is this, and he goes, oh, I bet he's a great guy. And that's like, that's it. They move on. I'm like, right, cool. Yeah.
What's happening to our world?
Yes, it's not like, what the fuck?
What happened to the good old days?
Yeah.
Man and woman.
Not Adam and Steve or Jaeger and Schlager or whatever. Oh, so it's, I do like that part of it. And it's like in this utopian future, you know, you don't see race, you don't see gender identity, you don't see, you know, interracial, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's just people are just people. You're a human being. Right. Fucking get
Oh, they're saying that world is strange. Huh?
Yeah. But it's, so in that regard, it's like, I'm of two minds about that. It does. It feels like a lot of virtue signaling smashed into one movie.
Yeah.
Not that's necessarily bad, but it just kind of seems forced. Like
there's a line. Yeah. And it kind of towed it.
Yeah. It went a little over that. But at the same time, it had this really great message of who gives a fuck about any of it. So the movie, watch it if it seems like something that you're into. You're probably going to get about what you expected, but it got no box office, which seems like a shame.
I thought it just went out and just went streaming. Straight
to Disney.
No, it was out. It was in theaters.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it got no advertising, and I don't know what the whole business plan was with it, but it's like it bombed hard because it made nothing, and now it's just streaming.
Oh.
So, but yeah, this Strange World from this year just came out.
Somehow Dennis Quaid is at fault for the failing of this film.
He was great. He was really good in that. All the voice acting was really good. There's a bunch of people I didn't recognize, but Lucy Liu's in it, Gabrielle Union's in it, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Dennis Quaid from Cold Creek Manor?
Yeah, that's right. So anyways, that's it. I'm going to maybe piggyback with yours because I know we watched the same movie.
Yeah, so I'll stream pick this first before that. I watched Bullet Train, which is streaming on Netflix right now.
That's the one with Brad Pitt, right?
Yes.
Really eager to hear what you think about
this. And that overall, the movie was like, I felt the movie was like really fun and kind of over the top. Essentially, Bullet Train is about Brad Pitt plays a sort of mercenary for hire, and he is assigned a job, or he's taking over, he's filling in for a job where the guy who was hired for the job had a stomach thing. So he says throughout the movie,
he's out sick or something.
Yeah. So he's filling in for this guy, and he gets on the bullet train in Japan, and he gets in all sorts of shenanigans with
tomfoolery.
And as it turns out, there's a bunch of other mercenaries for hire all on the same train. And they're kind of their stories and their jobs kind of get intertwined with each other. And there's a lot of fight scenes, a lot of kind of cool choreography and use of the space inside of this train.
So it's a train full of mercenaries who are fighting each other, or
they don't know, like, you know, in the beginning, they don't know that they're all there. Like, they don't all know each other.
The stories all intertwine, and you find out throughout the movie what happens.
Yeah, and you find out certain nuggets throughout the movie, and then certain characters get involved with other characters, even though they don't know each other. Okay. But they're all fighting kind of over the same thing. They just don't know it. A lot of the writing is pretty cheesy.
Thomas the Tank thing was overdone.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of cringy kind of lines, almost like, not zinger type lines, but just like, what, did you hear that? That was a joke. Like,
what's one of them? I want to hear it.
I don't even remember, but it was like, when you hear it, it's like, okay.
This doesn't sound like a streaming pick.
It is a streaming pick because ultimately it was a very fun movie to watch.
Okay.
There is like some good comedy in it. There was a couple moments where I found myself laughing out loud. Mm-hmm. It is definitely like a comedy action movie. And this is starring Brad Pitt, formerly mentioned Aaron Taylor Johnson, Aaron Taylor Johnson plays mercenary along with this other guy. They're essentially partners, but I can't remember that guy's name.
Clementine and Lemon or something like
Tangerine
that.
Tangerine and Lemon are their code names.
It's a Brian Tyree Henry.
Yes. And, I honestly think that if anything else were to come out from this movie, is that we should get a prequel movie with just those two.
That'd be cool.
Because they were pretty entertaining. I found them to be pretty interesting in this movie.
They do call back to a lot of like previous jobs they've done.
Yeah, I feel like
that could be fun.
Yeah, it could be how they met, because they kind of delve into their past a little bit.
And they're brothers.
And the writing for Brad Pitt was, I don't know, it was kind of weird because like Brad Pitt is not a young guy.
No, he's in his 50s.
Yeah, he's probably like, he's like in his 50s.
He's 60 now.
Oh my God.
And very late 50s. As late as you could get. And the writing for him was just, I don't know, it felt too young for him.
Sure. Yeah.
Like the way he, and his delivery, I feel like I could tell he was having fun with the movie. Mm-hmm. And like the way, because it's not like sort of a movie that I guess he's normally done in the past. I mean, he's done a lot of kind of fun movies, but he's also done a lot of like kind of darker roles. But this movie, I don't know why. I feel like you could have replaced Brad Pitt with probably somebody else.
Sure. He could have been standing in with anybody else.
Stanley Tucci.
Ooh, Stanley Tucci.
I don't know.
Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk. He would have been pretty good. But yeah, overall, the movie is. It's a pretty fun watch. Definitely worth watching. And it's
I like the third act crescendo once you finally figure out who the big bad is.
Yeah.
And that involved, and you're like, woo, that's pretty good. I like him in that.
Yeah, yeah.
I won't say who it is.
It's and then, like the tie in to the other characters and how it's all pretty interesting. Also, and it's actually very violent.
And this is streaming on Netflix?
Yes, it's streaming on Netflix.
It's a very fun, very short cameo from another famous actor who I won't say. It comes in like two or three times as a passenger on the train.
Mm.
That's pretty
Is
funny.
It Paul Giamatti?
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about.
Yeah, it's good.
Overall, really fun time. It's like an hour 40 minutes. So it's like, it's a perfectly perfect amount of time for this action comedy movie that is kind of corny.
Awesome. If you have teenagers and you want to watch something with them, this would probably be good for them.
So, you know, perfect for you, Tyler. Together. You got teenagers, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, you know, they're all around the country.
And then my next streaming on HBO Max. Tyler mentioned this last week, and it sounds like me and Pete watched this as well. Mm-hmm. This is This Place Rules.
Yes, yeah. Very good.
I watched it on the 5th of January, not even connecting the dots that the next day was January 6th. And it was a pretty entertaining. It was overall a very like entertaining movie. I don't think I learned anything new from it other than like...
Yeah.
I don't think I got anything from it that I didn't already know other than like the stuff about Q, which was pretty like... It was like, oh my God, this is what you're looking at.
Did you watch Q Into the Storm, that documentary series? It's like a 5-part miniseries.
No, I don't think so.
That's on HBO as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that the one that talks about 8chan? And like,
yeah.
I feel like and the guy who lives off in like a remote.
Yeah, in Vietnam.
Yeah, I feel like I saw part of that.
Motherfucker, that's a deep hole to go down.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, This Place Rules. I mean, the beginning is hilarious. But also...
Oh,
also
God.
Kind of like there's people like this.
I know. They walk among us.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said in my in the last episode in the previous review that I did, it's exhausting. It's exhausting how we are living like these people could be on a jury or
Joker gang's going to be on a jury anytime soon. But yeah, it was like a long YouTube video.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was kind of funny to see our own Capitol in there with the guy coughing my face.
Yeah.
Somebody coughing my face right
like,
now.
Woo, Sacramento.
Yeah. I was like, hey, I don't live too far from that. Overall, yeah, it was entertaining and just like, you know, cringe inducing at all these people, all these, you know, these super right wing. I mean, they definitely leaned into more of the right wing side. They kind of showed the leftist side of that lady who's just like making fun of Donald Trump. I was like, okay. I mean, all right, you could stop. I mean, you don't have to keep going. We get it.
I liked it a lot better than you, a lot more than you did. Mainly because I liked how he was able to draw this line from like the political fervor, like this increasing anger and the people that were stoking those flames. And then immediately were like, as soon as it hit critical mass on January 6th, it was like, we had nothing to do with that.
I liked it a lot. The Alex Jones stuff was pretty funny. And the Proud Boys
drinking Jameson while lifting weights.
That guy, I feel like he's not real.
No,
Alex Jones.
He should be like a WWF wrestler. You know,
yeah,
he has that personality that's like, and I'm going to take down the Undertaker in all steel cage matches on Sunday. And you're like, okay, or inciting, you know, riots in the Capitol.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's
using his powers for bad.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, it's not entertainment. It's real life.
Well, he says it's entertainment. That's his new shtick. That's his new thing. I mean, you need to watch it.
Legally.
And then the Proud Boys guy who's just a con man, basically. Yeah. He just is a shitty business person in the sense that, like, yeah, I'm selling right wing shirts, but I'm also selling Joe Biden shirts. You know, it's I may or may not have a Joe Biden website.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like he's just capitalizing on all this bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they show the I don't know if the lowest of the low, but they get into. With their cameras.
It gets really dark once they show that family.
Oh, like, the Spencer family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
dad, I mean, look, when he's looking at the cue board and he's looking at that picture, I'm like,
Do you think that
misspelling is a sign?
Oh, everything.
He's like, everything.
Everything's a sign.
You see that triangle on the Chipotle logo?
Yeah, that was...
That's a symbol for...
The devil symbol.
Child predator.
Yeah, it was... I think what I appreciate about that documentary is that it highlights like the deep, dark depths of American society. But, I mean... It's hard because like what the point this documentary is trying to make is not going to reach the people that need to hear.
I don't think it's trying to make a point. It's just like showing a mirror to you.
It's kind of this. well, how, I mean, Andrew Callahan, like, does his, like, interviews is, like, he doesn't interfere with their talking. Like, he just lets them talk for the most part.
He never counterpoints anything.
You know, he doesn't ask them questions. You know, he asks them, like, what are you doing today?
Yeah, he's like, that's interesting. And then just puts the mic out to him.
And then they just rant, and he just leaves it there for them to say their piece. And then he's like, okay. And then what I liked about this.
They self-incriminate themselves, essentially.
Yeah. What I like about this documentary, how it was portrayed, and as Andrew Callahan as being like the sort of narrator guiding us through the whole thing with the interstitials of him just in the studio on a chair.
Yeah.
It's like he's giving a perspective, right? And it might necessarily just be, you know, his perspective on how it is, but I feel like it's sort of an objective viewpoint on these people and how they're like looking at all this information.
Yeah, he's human. He's humanizing these people essentially, instead of like putting them in like one camp or the other, which I do appreciate, but at the same time, it's hard to like watch because it's just, there's people out there who believe this stuff.
And they're still out there. The most pressing thing that he did was when he's in that diner with that guy and he brings up the pedophile charges.
Fucking wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I didn't see that in the trailer because I watched like a little bit of a clip for it. And I was like, just that reveal. He's like, nah, I knew I couldn't beat it. It's like, so you know that you're guilty. That's why you couldn't beat it. You knew you're a child molester, so you just pled guilty.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it's like he has a good explanation at the end where it's like these people are, you know, dealt a bad hand. They were cast out sort of either by their own hand, or they just had a, you know, they just didn't make it to whatever dreams that they had. And now their only thing they can cling on to is this ridiculous conspiracies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
they feel like they're part of something too.
Yeah.
And I've said it before, I'll say it again. You could go down a different path and be a juggalo, or you could go down a different path and be a gang member, or join this weird conspiracy cult. I mean, you find some weird association to become a part of if you feel like you don't have anything else.
Yeah. And then the kid of that family, when after the sixth happened, is like, I feel like it goes for nothing. Like, we didn't.
And he's the only one who's speaking common sense in this besides Joker Gang.
Yeah. After it happens, though. But before it happens, he's like, he's just, you know, he's drank the Kool-Aid with his family. But then after it happens, depressing. He's like, what was the point?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everybody should watch this.
It was very much like a...
it's thought-provoking.
It was like a Jesus Camp type documentary. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like, we're put in the environment.
Yeah.
I think Jesus Camp was a lot more depressing than this film. Oh, my God. But yeah, I think it's a very thought-provoking film. It's an okay documentary, but I think it definitely... it makes you think about society, and it humanizes our citizens in the United States, whether they be...
I can't hear anything over that windbreaker crinkling.
Is it really that loud? I'll take it off.
It's like those space blankets that runners get at the end of a marathon.
Okay. Cool.
But yeah, Your Place Rules. This Place Rules is on HBO. And it's pretty short. It's like less than an hour and a half, so it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it. Good.
But so that was Stream Picks, Extended Edition. Yeah. anything else? I don't think so.
Good. That'll be good.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So thank you for joining us this week. Thank you, our new Patreon members, listener Javier, Joel, and Stephen. And if you want to be a Patreon member, hit up the Patreon page, patreon.com/middleclassfilmclass. And send us an email, mcfcpodcast@gmail.com.
Got a lot of links. Follow us on Twitter @podcastmcfc and on TikTok @middleclassfilmclass.
Yeah, and follow us on Instagram @middleclassfilmclass and leave us a voicemail, why don't you? We're in a drought of voicemails. We like to hear from the classmates. That number is 209-730-6010.
All right, we'll see you later in the week when we review Dead Again.
See ya.
See ya.
You're not hardcore unless you live hardcore.